Hey, good morning, everyone. We'll open the pre-hearing conference in docket DW10-217. On August 16, 2010, Tioga River Water Company filed a notice of intent to increase rates to its customers in the town of Belmont and the Guilford Village Water District. For customers in Belmont, Tioga proposes to increase revenues by 127%, which would result in a $606.14 per year increase, resulting in a total average annual bill of $1,082. For customers in Guilford Village, the proposed increase is 147%, which would result in a $219.26 per year increase for a total annual bill of $368.36. We issued an order on November 15th, 2010, suspending the proposed tariffs and scheduling the pre-hearing conference for this morning. For purposes of this morning, what we will do in a pre-hearing conference is take appearances from the petitioning party and from staff and from anyone else who seeks to intervene in the proceeding. To the extent there are any customers here who would like to make a public comment, would also provide that opportunity. And we have a petition intervene from the Tioga Drive homeowners. So let's start with appearance by the Tioga.
Good morning. My name is Stephen P. St. Cyr, and with me is Norm Harris representing Tioga River Water Company.
Good morning. And is Ms. Phillips here? And someone on behalf of the Tioga Drive homeowners?
Where?
Is there somebody who would like to... There's a petition to intervene, so is there someone speaking on behalf of that group?
That we each would have a chance to express our views.
Okay. Well, at this point, just if somebody can state the name for the record.
Carolyn Bancroft, representing Tioga River.
Okay. Thank you. And is there anyone else who's
seen?
Okay, thank you. Staff?
Alexander Spidell for the staff of the commission, and I have with me Jim Lenahan, Jason LaFlamme, Doug Brogan, and Mark Naylor, commission staff.
Okay, good morning. And then let's let the petitioner give a brief explanation of its position.
Yes. Good morning. Tioga River Water Company manages two water systems. Tioga River Water System in Belmont, New Hampshire has 22 customers. The Guilford Village Water District in Guilford, New Hampshire has 35 customers. I'm going to provide a brief summary for both of those systems. First, the Tioga River Water System in fiscal year ended October 31, 2009. Company had total revenues of just over $10,000, total expenses of just over $11,000, and a net loss of just over $1,000. Part of this rate increase would eliminate Tioga River Company's net loss position. In addition to that, during the fiscal year, the company sought and received approval to borrow state revolving funds. Those funds were approved in order DW09-117. The purpose of the funds were to replace the pump station at Tioga. The new station greatly improves access, eliminates moisture problems, includes alarms and upgraded equipment, and incorporates treatment to address the taste and odor and other water quality concerns. The projected cost at the time and included in the filing are $151,000. For the Guilford Village Water District system, again for the fiscal year ended October 31, 2009, the total revenues were just over $13,000. The total expenses were just over $24,000, resulting in a net loss of $11,000. Part of this rate increase would again eliminate the net loss position. And again, there were also state revolving funds sought during the year to do work at Guilford Village Water District. Those funds were approved in DW09 2018-117. The funds included the installation of new booster pumps and treatment equipment. The booster pumps will allow the system to meet peak demand. The treatment system addresses continuing problems with discolored water along with taste and odor issues. At the time, the projected costs were $115,000, and those costs are incorporated in the filing. The company anticipates being able to work with staff and the parties and believes that in the end we'll reach a settlement that ultimately will be presented to the commission for approval, and we appreciate the opportunity to make a preliminary statement.
Is there any objection to the petition to intervene from the homeowners?
There's no objection.
Okay, thank you. Just for administrative purposes, is there a microphone on the other desk?
No, but I'm trying to do that, but we thought this would be better, but you could hear if they talk
I think
loud.
We can be loud enough.
We have...
You may be loud enough for us to hear. What I'm trying to make sure is loud enough for the tape recorder to record, so we have a transcript of the proceeding. And
I need to put two more up then if you want me to do that.
And while we're doing that, let me just make sure, to the extent folks are not familiar with the process, this is the beginning of the hearing process at the commission this morning. We just get on the record the positions of the parties. After the close of the pre-hearing conference, there will be a technical session with the company and staff and any interveners, any interested parties, to go through the filing and then to hopefully reach agreement on a procedural schedule, which would play out over the next several months, so that we have a full record in advance of a hearing in this case, so that, on which we can make our decision. So I hope that's understandable. Then let's turn to Ms. Bancroft.
Yes. I'm Carolyn Bancroft. My husband John is here with me. We have made several attempts to contact the provider. Phone calls to the point I thought I was bothering his health. And I was assured I was on top of his book to call back. I stopped in at his office when I saw the trucks there. He was in a meeting. They said he'd call me at the end. I never did hear from him. We wanted to be able to resolve this without going through this, just because we're considered ourselves friendly. But I didn't get any calls back, so that's one reason why we're here. The economy the way it is, I don't know how any of us can afford it. Any increase, and I know, you know, life is like it, what it is, there will probably be something, but nobody could afford the 127%, number one. Number two, and I know that he's working on fixing the problem and fixing the pumps and things like that, but we have had times when we come home and there's a notice in our door saying, oh, the water's got E. coli in it, don't use it. We have to go out and buy water. There have been long stretches of time, periods of time, certainly long for a person who has to go out and buy water. And that's all added expenses to us. And in this day and age, and I know I don't have to tell anyone here this, there isn't any extra money. And the company that we're running, we have turned losses the last 4 or 5 years because of the new location we were forced to move in because of our tear down of a building. And we had to pull in our belts and we're somehow surviving. I just think that the timing is really inappropriate for the economy the way it is. And I just would appeal to their sense of community and sense of fairness that this can't be. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bancroft, so you're in the town of Belmont?
That's correct, okay. On Tioga Drive.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Yes, please. My name is George Woodruff. I also live on Tioga Drive in Belmont. One of the things which I heard about was the DW09-117 for the need to come up with a loan for repairing the pumps. Also in that, it stated out of the $266,000 that 50% is going to be a forgiveness. So they're only paying $133,000, which is only half of the price for all the pumps. Another thing I was questioning and looking at is, this is from the annual report of Tioga River Water Company, year ending October 31st, 2009, is that they're doing a 127% increase on us. Right now I'm looking at the thousands of gallons sold, 981,000. But to the Guilford Water, 2,572,000. Revenue, in a sense, where they got 10,490 from Tioga and 13,000 from Guilford. Well, I'm looking at that, I said, gosh, they're using 2.6% more water, but they're only going to charge $3,000 more. Something doesn't seem fair here in the sense of how they're setting up. So I'm looking across revenue per 1,000 gallons sold. Again, Tioga's at $10.69. Guilford's only at $5.10. Now they're hitting us with a 127% increase. I'd like to know, is this a fair setup also? Something doesn't look right for me in a sense where it seems like 22 residents are getting charged a lot more than the, I guess it's now down to 35, at the time it was 36. So that was another concern. Let me see what else. Cost being divided equally. And the other concept was, looked like that they, the increase on the quarterly charge is going up to $90, where it was $39.69. Thank you. One of the things we can control is our amount of water usage. We can't control a quarterly charge. A quarterly charge is zapped to us every quarter. No way of changing it, no way of controlling it. We don't have control of our water, of that cost. So to me, to increase that by 127%, no. I don't have any control of my water usage. I have no control of how I'm supposed to regulate my costs so I can live. I mean, if I got take a bath every other day instead just to save some money so I can survive, right now I'm working two jobs to survive, then that's what I'll have to do. But with a quarterly charge, I can't control that. That is a set black and white charge to me, and I have no control of that. So, thank you for
Okay, thank you, and certainly those are issues that can be pursued in the technical session with staff to understand the proposal. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Yes,
sir.
My name is James Cook. I also live in Belmont. I live on Clark Street, which is directly connected to Tioga Drive.
If we could, sir. Actually,
do you have a close-in?
Yeah, please.
Okay. To reiterate what was already said, even in this proposal that was sent to us, they're talking about the Tioga Division operating at a net loss of $986, and the Guilford Division has a loss of $76.83. Again, that doesn't seem to be equally divided. They're basically asking the smaller community to subsidize the larger community, which doesn't seem fair in my view. Also, just to give you a little history, which has already been mentioned, oftentimes, up until they actually rebuilt this pump house, we would have a situation where every summer, just about every summer, we would lose our water 2, 3, 4 times a summer. I know at my house, we would often have sediment in the water. Usually days after the water would come back on, to the point where we could not use it. We could not use it for laundry, we couldn't drink it, we'd have to purchase water. We've on several occasions had a situation where we turn on the water in the morning and you can smell the chlorine in the water. A couple hours later, we get a notice that the water has been chlorinated due to E. coli or some other contaminant that needs to be taken care of. And we understand these things have to be taken care of. But the fact that we get the notification after the fact seems to be, it's not...
Irresponsible.
It's irresponsible, it's not good service, and it's a reflection on the type of service that we've had historically over the years. Now, I've lived there 15-plus years, and up until recently when they rebuilt this pump house, that's the kind of thing that would happen to us on a regular basis. And I also have a concern where we've been paying obviously, to have the water service for all these years, maintenance, as I just alluded to, was not that great. Now that we have a new pump house and the service is what I think it should be, now all of a sudden it's 127% increase. But where's all this money gone over the years to actually maintain the system? I don't know. I have no idea. So that's my concern.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
G Pro, Taylor Drive. I'm open to everybody being in business. I understand that if a company loses $986, as stated in here, not over $1,000, as was stated previously, I would be for letting them recoup their loss from that year. And I understand, you know, part of being in business is you would choose to make a profit. However, a profit of $23,000 when you want to pay basically one whole employee's salary for the year is definitely not acceptable when it, you know, when just one neighborhood is expected to pay that, when I'm sure Guilford Well, that operates Tioga River, has many accounts to also have other income in. I would not be opposed to letting them increase their rates just to the point where they could make, there's 22 residents there, let them make $100, $150 per account. That would more, should be, in my mind, pay for the maintenance and for somebody to come out and read the meters, change filters, and do that for the year. So if they want to make a little bit of money, that's fine, but definitely not 127% when at this time for the last 2 or 3 years now, people have been going without any raises at all at their work, or very, very minimal. It is definitely not acceptable. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, Larry Gruen. I've had dealings with the Tioga River Water Company, just my house, calling them up, asking them, we got water coming out of your curb valve. They call me and tell me they need a $400 deposit to come fix it. Well, the curb valve's their problem, not my problem. From the curb valve, my house is a 1-inch pipe with 2 clamps on it, so it's not going to leak out of the pipe. So we had that little, we've had problems over the years. But I've been here for a couple of meetings, and in 97, April 1st, 97, the document 96-300, they asked for money to upgrade the pump house. And it was supposed to be, and then in document, December 16th, 2002, I was at that meeting, one of the meetings there, DW02-094, where they got money to upgrade the pump house, and I think that's when some of the commission went down to look at the pump house, the upgrades it was already supposed to have, which weren't there. They were supposed to move it above ground then. Well, every spring, the fine Tioga River, which this is named after, overflows, and where the pump house is located in a flood area. So every summer, we end up with E. coli or something in the water because the system is put below grade. And like I said, on these documents here, they were already supposed to upgrade it above grade. So as far as I can see, the pump house was already supposed to be paid for. And according to one of these things, they said they're going to work on a 20-year plan. You know, it was supposed to be good for 20 years in 2002. Well, 20 years from 2002 is, 2022. So, I don't know. I'm just looking at the documents you guys already have. So, I'm pretty sure that the pump house has already been paid for once, or probably even twice.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
My name is Bob Kasha, Tioga Drive. I just want to reiterate what everyone else has said and their feelings also. I just don't understand this quarterly charge when our previous bills were running at $39.93, I believe it was. And now they want to put a fixed rate of our quarterly charge. That's a set figure without the water consumption to $90.69. Outrageous. Outrageous. There's $400 a year right there just from one customer. They also want to, the consumption charge from 0.0525, I believe it is, to 0.1208 per cubic foot charge, which is still another outrageous fee. I just don't see where they can justify that we have to pay another, an additional, in fact, over double what we're paying now, as opposed to what the Guilford division is paying. It seems like we're being slapped and going to carry the burden, which is not right. It's not fair. And me, Reese, personally, I just recently lost my job, so good luck, the chase might be on. But it's unacceptable. I'm all for somebody to make us a profit, but don't gouge us. We have to live, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bancroft?
I'm Carolyn Bancroft again. I just had one other point to bring out. Some of us are on limited incomes. My husband and I are both on Social Security. In fact, we're working to keep the company alive because we can't give it away this time of year, obviously, in the economy. But limited income, they're not giving us a cost of living increase at least until 2012, maybe not, but that's the first projected increase. But everything else is going up. Our gas, our food, well, I don't have to tell you. We all live in the same area. I just think it's putting a squeeze on us. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing. I just, you know, she just brought up a point about budgets. We all are expected to live within our budgets, you know, so I think all parties should do the same. Thank you.
Anything further? Mr. Spiedel?
Staff would like to make a statement. Staff will conduct a thorough investigation into the rates the company has proposed in this filing. Tioga has two separate systems, and the rates are set based on the individual costs of each system. Staff will be in touch with the Department of Environmental Services to determine the company's current level of compliance with the requirements of that agency. Within this rate case, the company is also requesting after-the-fact approval for loans taken from affiliated parties. The company has indicated the proceeds of the loans were used for capital needs of the water systems. Staff will be looking into this issue in our review of this case. Staff has consulted with the commission audit staff about conducting a financial audit. Because of the demands the audit staff is facing, a financial audit is not going to begin until perhaps February. Staff will be proposing a procedural schedule with the parties at the technical session following this pre-hearing conference. We will endeavor to work with the company and any interested parties to reach agreement on an appropriate level of rates for both of the company's systems. However, staff, of course, will file testimony if needed on issues such as revenue requirement, rate of return, and whether it is appropriate to maintain the present rate design. We look forward to working with the company and customers. We will file a proposed procedural schedule with the commission for approval within a day or so. Thank you.
Mr. Spiedel, do you have any position on the petition to intervene?
I believe staff supports the petition to intervene.
Okay, recognizing that the interveners, petitioners have demonstrated interests or rights or duties that would be affected by the proceeding, we'll grant the petition to intervene. Commissioner Ignatius.
Thank you. The order of notice identified that a waiver request had been made for a number of the reports that our rules require for the filing. And the commission granted the waiver with a statement that there would be, through the discovery process, the ability to scrutinize expenses and revenues of the company, even though they might not be in the format that the rules would normally require for larger companies. I hope that that's understood by the company, that it's not a waiver of the information, it's on the format of the information, and that through the discovery process, staff and the intervener homeowners as well may have questions about accounting for expenditures and records of revenues, and some of it may go back to prior years as well, and that there will be willingness on the part of the company to be as forthright as it can and produce what it can, even if it's not in the quite the format that we require of companies that are many times larger than Tioga.
Company understands that and is prepared to
respond.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Actually, I do have another question. In our order of notice, we referenced 38 customers in the Guilford Village Water District Division, which I presume was drawn somewhere from the pre-filed testimony. Well, I see a number of 88 units for the metered customers in that division. And I think, Mr. St. Cyr, you said 35 customers in that Guilford division. Well, can you just reconcile the different numbers?
Sure, Mr. Harris is in a better position to do that.
Norm Harris from Tioga River Water Company. Guilford Village, if you know the village at all, is kind of with major changes. New library, different buildings coming on and off the system over the past few years. To identify down, to be exact, 35 I believe is correct. I know they've lost a couple of actual metered customers due to some combining of buildings and the rest going off of one meter. The library has reduced the number of meters they have. Same with a couple of apartments have changed to lesser apartments than what they were. So I know that they have lost a few over the past few couple of years here. So I believe that's where you're finding the discrepancy between 38 and maybe 35. I think that's what has happened.
So the current number is 35.
I believe that is correct. Yes.
Okay.
And the difference between the 88 units, because the number of those customers are multiple units. So there's one customer that has multiple units.
Like apartments?
Like apartments.
Two retirement home communities exist within that system. One of 24 some odd units within one meter, and then another one within a number of units within one that all come off of one meter.
Okay.
So the actual people served is much higher than what the meter count actually shows.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Okay, is there anything further that we need to address this morning? Okay, hearing nothing, then we will close this pre-hearing conference and then wait a recommendation from a staff. We'll put in writing the results of the technical session and a proposal for a procedural schedule, and then we'll take that recommendation under advisement. So thank you, everyone.
We're done. Seth, I'm going to just leave my email address.
Thank you.